Praise be to God. Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Glory to God. You know, we've been talking about wanted, dead, or alive, and this is the third series that we're going to be talking about, wanted, dead, or alive. And, well, we'll let the word speak for itself right now. So go to Luke 11. Hallelujah. The devil wants you dead or alive, amen?
Amen.
Any way he can take you. Environment. Okay. Luke chapter 11. And to God be the glory. Luke chapter 11. Is everybody there? Praise God. Put your finger there. It's a finger exercise tonight. Luke chapter 11. You got your finger there? And verse, you don't have to worry about that. Just put it chapter 11. Okay, keep your hand there. Now go to 1 Peter. Because we're going to flip right over there quickly. Hallelujah. And 1 Peter chapter 5. God be the glory. Is everybody there? Let's read verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves are in under mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, that's powerful. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that he'll exalt you in due time. See, one of the things that the devil doesn't want you to do is humble yourself before God. Because then you'll exalt yourself instead of God exalting you. Does everybody get it? Okay. And verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know, pride is a killer. Pride is a killer. And P-R-I-D-E represents personal reverence. It's a deadly end, right? But pride, God resists the prideful. He resists the proud. He resists it. And the only reason why people can't cast their cares onto the Lord is because they want to take care of it themselves. Amen? Because what they're trying to do is promote self. I did this. I did that. You know, when you and I were in the world, when we finished something, we said, man, look at that. Look what I did. You know. Didn't realize that all things come from God. Right? Now, you think the devil knows that? Amen. When he hears I coming out of your mouth, oh, he's there. Him and he calls the rest of his guys, come on, there's a party over here. Eyes over here. All eyes on this person because the eyes are coming out of his mouth. Right? So those demons just start, if they start hearing I, let me tell you, they're coming to get food. They're coming to get something to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Now, in verse 8, read it with me. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Wow. You know, we lose sight of that. The devil is out looking for whom he can devour. Now, we know that the word says that the devil touches you not, unless you let him. But he's looking for someone to devour. Now, it says he's a roaring lion. That means he's got to say something, right, to get your attention. So if he's bringing you to you, I, he hears his own voice. And what you're doing is calling him. So now that bleep on that radar sensor that he has bleeps, and him and his mod squad go over and they start eating off of what you're saying what you're feeling. Now they're starting to get a full course meal. And next thing you know, they're in you. And you're having a problem. Remember, he is seeking whom he can devour. Not just seeking whom he can use all the time. He's seeking someone he can devour. Now he'll use us until we're used up. And then he can't use us no more and he goes to somebody else. Amen? So he is truly seeking whom he can devour. He wants you dead or alive. Preferably alive than dead. Because he can reach a lot more while you're alive through us. Okay? So we're wanted dead or alive. Amen? Now, in verse 9, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Right? So we know everybody goes through it. No one is exempt from this. No one. And the person that tells me the devil don't bother them, they got demons. Devil don't bother you? Of course not. They're not outside of you to bother you. They're inside running you. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
Man, when a believer tells me the devil don't bother me, get behind me. Because the devil is right there. He don't bother people what we think he don't bother people, but he is bothering people. Because one of the great deceptions of the devil is that he wants you to think he's not involved in your life, right? If he can convince you that he's not involved in your life, he's already got you. And we have a wonderful teaching called Deception of Darkness that explains all of that. But we're not going to get into that. Okay, now turn to Luke 11. Remember, he is seeking whom he can devour. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 22. Uh-oh. Let's see here. Okay. Hallelujah. We're in the right place. Don't panic. Luke 11, verse 22. Read it with me. When a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Now he's talking about demonic activity. Does everybody get it? In verse 24, read it with me. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to a dry place, he's seeking rest. Now you got to understand something. A dry place is a blind place. A dry place is a blind place. Does everybody get it? He's looking for a blind place where he can get rest. Well, if he can get rest somewhere, that means he's hidden. Okay? Now, the word says that the devil is seeking whom he can devour. So what he's doing is he's looking for a dry place or a blind place so that he can get rest and nobody will know that he's there. That's why the first thing he must do before he can enter me and you is blind us. If he can blind us, it's the pathway of darkness, then he can enter us if we allow him. Does everybody get it? Now watch. Let's read 24 again. And when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes to dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. See, he calls your temple his house. But see, he was just evicted. right? Somehow he's been evicted, either cast out, whatever. Now he's going around seeking another dry place. And when he can't find it, he comes back to his own house. Because he still claims your temple and my temple, all those demons that we've been carrying most of our life, they still come back every once in a while and say, I want my house back. I want my house back. And they're going to continue to do it until you leave this planet. It's not just a one-time event. Did you ever notice that, you know, if you've ever quit doing something and the next thing you know you're doing it again? That demon found a dry place, a blind place, entered, gave you the desire, and you picked up again, whatever it is. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's cigarettes, whether it's pornography, whether it's lying, whether it's whatever it is. Does everybody get it? There's a spirit there. It's causing a desire. It's an ungodly desire. Remember, the Word says that Jesus came to be he's a life-giving spirit, and to bring me and you abundant life. The devil's come to destroy, to steal and kill. So there, in other words, he's going to try and kill you any way he can, isn't he? He wants you dead or alive, preferably alive for a while. Right? Okay, now let's go on. And verse 25, and when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Why? Now, it's clean and in order, isn't it? But is it really clean and in order? Well, just because the spirits are gone and things are getting in order, doesn't mean that you can't have a blind spot. So once you bite the bait again, they re-enter, and the person is worse than before. Now, that doesn't mean that every time that person gets worse than before. Does everybody understand that? Because there are times when you'll pick up a spirit, and you won't even know he's there. And the next thing you do, you're like, man, why am I so angry? Why am I doing these things? And you don't even realize it. And it's because there's a spirit. Now, he's either oppressing you, in your presence, or in you. One or the other. You know, we have a teaching called Who's in Control? And if you don't have control over your members or over your desires, somebody does. That's why you and I must be possessed by the Holy Spirit in every area. You know, certain people are eating foods that they know are not good for them. You know, and I've shared this before about praying for people with that have, you know, like that diet stuff and whatever. NutraSweet and saccharin and stuff like that. It's deadly for people. They think they're losing weight. They're dying. They're just replacing. They're better off eating the other stuff. You know? So what's happening is those poisons are going into our bodies that can't be digested. And it has to be stored somewhere. And it usually ends up in brain tumors or cancer. But the devil will try and kill you one way or another. Well, you know what he tries to do? He tries to go out and feed everybody and get them fat and try and give them something else to lose weight. He'll try one way or another. He'll do whatever. You know, and how many times have people gotten into what's that disease that where people throw up? Anorexia. Yeah. Bulimia. I prayed for people that had bulimia. One girl was in my office that had bulimia. Cast that devil out. She never did it again. It was nothing but a spirit. Amen. A real simple thing. Out devil and you're gone. She started eating. Never did it again. Never had a desire for bulimia or anything again. And she was a bulimia addict for 20 years. 20 years. And it just took 5 minutes of the Holy Ghost. Bam, out, gone. Hallelujah. So the devil is looking for a dry place, isn't he? He's looking for a blind place where he can get rest. Because without a blind place, he can't access me and you. Did you ever hear people tell you, this, and that, and whatever? Everybody else seems to notice it around you, but you don't. Same thing when we were out using, right? Man, I'm all right. Denial is a blind place, let me tell you. Denial is a blind place. Man, I'm all right. You know what I mean? It's not about just getting home to heaven. The devil doesn't want you to be the witness of the power of deliverance of Christ. You cannot be partially delivered. You can't be partially delivered. You got to be delivered from all things. Everybody get it? You got to be delivered. Why? Or else you don't have that peace. Now you can have false peace. But because we keep putting the conviction of the Holy Spirit underneath the rug, eventually we're going to trip over that pile. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to John 10. Wanted, dead or alive. Bon Jovi needs to get saved. Get him, Jesus. So if the devil's seeking a dry place, he's actually seeking a blind place, isn't he? In John 10:10. Let's go back to verse 9. Now, this is Jesus speaking, right? What's he saying? I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Does everybody get it? Now, remember, Jesus is the door. Okay, what is he the door to? He's the door to the other side, isn't he? Does everybody get it? Jesus is the door. He is the door from walking in the natural realm to the spirit realm. He's walking from the natural realm, the door from the natural realm to the spirit realm. And the one thing the devil don't want you to do is walk in the spirit realm, does he? If he can keep you as a carnal Christian, he's got you. Amen? Jesus wants to bring me and you to that place where signs and wonders follow us. Amen. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
He wants to bring us to Mark 16:16-18. He wants to bring us to that place where signs and wonders follow us. And that won't happen until you're in the Spirit. So Jesus is known as the door, and the devil always wants to try and lock that door so you can't get to the other side. He'll do everything to prevent you from getting to the other side. Amen? Come on. In verse 10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, we kind of forget that sometimes. So if we're doing things that are actually destroying our life, then it's not of God, is it?
Amen.
You know, we got to step back and look at the fruits of what we're doing.
Amen.
And it's not about a condemnation, it's about a realization. If there's things that you and I are doing that are bringing death or hurting our temples, that's not of God, is it?
Amen.
You know how many times people get stressed out? And that's not good, is it? So when we start getting stressed out, man, we need to back up, don't we? We need to cast that care on the Lord and back up and let it go. Why? Because once stress starts running, the devil sees, bloop, 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 bloop. And you know what happens? They all start coming over and going, come on. They come in there with their dishes and the apron on, and the fork and the knife. And they're going, come on, it's meal time. You know?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, what do you call it? The roadrunner and the coyote? You know how he comes all the time? He's ready to eat the roadrunner, you know? And he never can get fed, right? And remember, the demons get fed by your emotions. If they can stir you up and get strife, woo-hoo, sometimes they just come over there and put a little whipped cream on that dessert and they're in there. Amen? But remember, we've got to check ourselves. Because the devil wants you dead or alive. If he can't kill you one way, he wants to kill you another.
Amen.
But he first wants to use you.
Amen.
He does not want you to be that witness of Christ of complete deliverance. You know, you're either pregnant or you're not, right? You can't, maybe, but you can't be half pregnant. You know, so many times people get delivered from one little thing, or they receive Jesus or whatever it is, and they're content with that. But that's not full deliverance. That's not the fullness of Christ, and God desires that you and I have the fullness of Christ. So that you and I can be that witness. But the devil don't want you to have the fullness of Christ. Paul said, I pray that you would have the fullness of Christ. Why? So that signs and wonders would follow you. And so that you would be a sign and wonder. Amen? The devil don't mind you being a track. Because if you ever notice, most of the tracks are on the floor. He's got people trained. They see a track, boop, boop, rip it up, throw it out. You know, we used to buy a lot of tracks. We'd go give them out. Kids would take them, look at them, go, yeah, I know about that one. They'd throw them out. But the Lord brought us a new track called the Vine of Life Juice and put the Word of God in a can so they're not throwing those out too often.
Amen.
But, you know, God is bringing witty inventions to change the tracks and put them on foods and certain things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went to go get a track. I mean, somebody tried to sell me some little mints, you know, and they had the Word of God on it. And I read the ingredients. I said, there ain't no way, man. How can you put the Word of God on something and want to kill somebody with what they're eating? Come on, you know, the Word of God should represent something good, you know. Hallelujah. But if they're going to eat a mint and die, you might as well put the Word of God on it, right? I go, remember, Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. But the devil came to what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
Now, we talked about this. We shared that steal was going to steal the seed, right? In other words, childhood. Kill was going to kill the plan of God at an adolescent age. And destroy at an adult age. Does everybody get it? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. But go to Matthew 4. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus said, I'm the door. Hallelujah. Matthew 4. In verse 1, is everybody there?
Amen.
Would you read it with me? Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now let me share something with you. It sounds strange, but let me tell you, the Holy Ghost does lead you into the wilderness. He leads. In other words, how do you know what you have unless you've been tempted? How do you know who you are unless you've been tempted? Now, of course, if you're biting the temptations, you're not where you're supposed to be. Amen? The temptations, if you're biting the temptations, those are the fruits, which then you need to see the fruits, and you can't ignore them. And if you ignore them, that means there's a dry place, and the devil has access to you. Amen? Okay. So we see that Jesus was led by the Spirit in verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Amen. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." He's always challenging you. Do you understand that? If you are the child of God. Now, the Lord said to Job, "Have you considered my servant?" Because Job shunned evil and was what? Righteous. He walked upright. He feared God. Now, that's what the Lord wants to do with me and you. Have you considered my servant? But he can't do that unless we're completely delivered. Unless we're free of all temptation. Not that you won't be tempted, but you won't allow temptation to overtake you. Does everybody get that? So he's, in other words, he's trying to bring us to that place where he's going to say, "Have you considered my servant so-and-so?" For he walks upright, he shuns evil and fears God. Because the one thing that the devil gets beat up on is someone who walks upright and does not take the bait of temptation. He can't stand it. That's what beats him up more than anything. Okay. So Jesus was tempted by the devil, wasn't he? And it says, if you are the Son of God, well, he's going to challenge me and you too. If you are the child of God, then do this. He's always challenging you. And of course, Jesus spoke back and said, "It is written," didn't he? Okay. And then in verse 5, and it says, "And then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God,'" again, he says, "If you are the Son of God," he challenges him, "'throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you.'" Of course, he uses the Word of God to challenge you too. Okay? He'll use the Word of God to challenge you. "And into the hands will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I'll give to you if you'll bow down and worship me." And that's his end result that he wants you to do, is to worship him. So temptation is actually a representation of he's trying to lead you to worship him. When you bite temptation, you worship him. Do you understand that? So when you bite temptation, you actually are bowing down to Satan and don't even know it. But when you resist temptation, you're exalting the Lord, aren't you? Remember, the devil wants you dead or alive. No matter what. Now, Jesus was tempted in these three areas. Remember, the Word says that Jesus, the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to restore those three areas by being tempted in these three areas. Okay? So Jesus was tempted by the devil three times, wasn't he? He was tempted by the devil so that he could overtake temptation, so that the child seed could not be stolen, child life, okay, or restored, that the adolescent life can be restored, and the adult life can be restored, the adulthood. Does everybody understand it? So Jesus was tempted three times, wasn't he? Again, the Word says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came and resisted and overtook the temptation so that that childhood could be restored, so that adolescenthood could be restored, and so that adulthood could be restored. Does everybody get it? Because the one thing the devil wants to do is try and kill the seed of the child. Remember, we talked about last week and how the devil wants to kill the child before it's even born. And then after it's born, it grows into adolescence, and he wants to kill the will of God for that child. And then he grows to adulthood, and he wants to destroy the adult. Okay? But Jesus paid the price that all three of them could be restored. That's why he's known as the door. Now, he said, I did not come to bring you peace, I came to bring you a sword. So what he does is he draws you in through the door, and he tells you what you're to do. Does everybody get it? Why? Because he said, it's finished. Everything's available for you. The reason why he's telling you what to do is so that he can position you to receive everything he's done already. Okay? He's trying to position, but the devil don't want you to get in a position to receive everything he's already done. So he's always going to challenge you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to do everything he can to access you. He's going to try and blind you so he can take dominion over. He doesn't want you to have dominion over your members. He wants dominion over them. He doesn't want you to have dominion over your desires. He wants dominion over them. He doesn't want you to have dominion over your walk. He wants to have dominion over it. And he certainly doesn't want you to have dominion over your tongue. He wants dominion over it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Let's go to Zechariah 3. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Zechariah 3. Hallelujah. Come on, I know you're in here somewhere. Here you are. Okay, Zechariah chapter 3. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Is everybody all right? Are we dead yet? Hallelujah. Zechariah 3 and verse 1 through 5. Let's read it together. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. Who's standing at his right hand?
Satan.
Hello.
He's right there,
isn't he? Caught verse 2. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and he spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. See, the Lord wants to clothe us with rich robes, but the devil is there to oppose it. Does everybody get it? The devil is there to oppose it. He doesn't want you to have a garment change. He doesn't want you to be healed of your childhood. He doesn't want you to be healed of your adolescenthood. He doesn't want you to be healed of your adulthood. He wants you to hold on to all of these things. He does not want you to have a garment change. And let me tell you something. You and I must go through garment changes. If we're not going through garment changes, our garments are getting filthy. And we're not growing in Christ. We're staying stagnant. And sometimes backsliding and don't even realize it. We're going backwards instead of forward. Amen. In verse 5, let's read it. And I said, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and put the clothes on him. And the angel of the Lord stood by him. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want an angel of the Lord to stand by you?
Amen.
Praise God. But then you better smell clean. You got to have clean garments on, man. Amen. Remember, God doesn't... No flesh shall glory in his presence.
Amen.
Right? Amen. And the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God or reverence him.
Amen.
Doesn't say that he encamps around those who don't. Does everybody get it? But one angel of the Lord can slay 185,000 people. Praise God. So we must allow the Lord to give us the garment changes. We must be able to remember, we're the ones that are participants in this. We have to be a yielding vessel and allow Him to do what He needs to do in our life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Wanted dead or alive.
778.
2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, we need to have a garment change. The devil don't want it. He's going to oppose it all, man. He's going to oppose everything. In verse 18, can we all read this together? Is everybody there?
Amen.
Let's hit it. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So who changes you from glory to glory? The Spirit of the Lord. But glory to glory. So you and I are being changed from glory to glory. In other words, you're getting garment changes. You're getting garment changes. So it's important that you and I are in the Spirit, because without being in the Spirit and relationship in the Spirit, you're not changing from glory to glory. You're staying the same. You know, when sometimes we have to step back and look, okay, Lord, you know, when's the last time I had a garment change? Am I changing? Am I truly changing? Not just getting more wisdom and knowledge, but am I changing? I mean, you know, not just getting more memorizations of the Word, but am I changing? Am I truly changing? You know? Praise God. So we see that we're changing from glory to glory by the Spirit. And Satan opposes this change. He opposes. He comes into this realm very strongly in our life at adolescence. Remember, he tried to kill us as a child, right? Then he comes very strong opposed to things in our life as an adolescent. That's why sometimes you hear about people who, well, you know, I just don't understand, man. You know, he's come from a good Christian family. Well, then why is he doing whatever? You know, well, because devil was opposing him in an adolescent. Amen? And at this adolescent stage, certain things affect this child. Now, many things can affect this child as for people, places, and things, right? In other words, even parents that weren't saved can affect that child at adolescent age. Or even not even having parents. Relatives, teachers can affect that child. Classmates, friends, etc. They can affect that child at an adolescent age. But you know, the thing is things do start in the family and home.
Amen.
You know, we may have been brought up with Christian parents who claim to be Christians, but did they really act like Christians? You know? I mean, did they really behave like a Christian? Did they speak like Christians, or did they just claim to be a Christian but really weren't? You know, and then what we got was hypocrite. Rebellion built in. Man, don't talk to me about God. I saw what my parents were like. Or what, so forth. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So we see that these things affect us at an adolescent age, don't they? And the devil is there trying to destroy. He's trying to kill God's plan in our life at that adolescent age. He's trying to bring discouragement so that we don't seek God or become submissive. We become rebellious at that time. Many things are affected at that adolescent age. Go to Proverbs 18. Thank God Jesus made the way and paid the price so that all of that could be healed. Proverbs 18. You know, you got to think about it too, you know, because I've had people come up to me and tell me a word from the Lord, you know. And not that God can't use anybody, but you know, you got to have a witness in your spirit, you know. I mean, certainly you wouldn't want somebody to come up to you with a bottle of wine in their hand, smoking a big stogie cigar, and say, "Hey, man, I got a word for you." I'd say, "Hey, I got a word for you. Hello? Come out." Praise be to God. You foul, unclean spirit. Proverbs 18:21. So, you know, and that's where hypocrite comes from, because there have been so many people claiming to be believers and but doing the wrong thing. I mean, you know, and so many times you've gone to church, you know, people brought up in church and seeing things that weren't right. And it's like, man, they're nothing but hypocrites. You know. And Proverbs 18:21, can you read it with me? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Wow. So death and life is in the power of the tongue. So what was spoken in your life as a child and an adolescent has affected you all the way up to today. Amen? Why? The devil was out to try and kill God's word, trying to kill God's plan for your life. Okay, so we have life and death in the power of the tongue. Actually, there's cursings and blessings in the power of the tongue, in the power of the tongue also. So, you know, I was talking to an individual today about some things who wants to come into the discipleship house. And one of the words that came in his mouth, he says, "You know, I'm very headstrong, stubborn." I said, "Man, you better quit cursing yourself." And you know what? He got that when he was a child. He doesn't even know it right now. Amen. Somehow mom, dad, or somebody kept telling him, you're stubborn, you're just strong-willed, and you're this and you're that. And that stuck with that man all the way till he gets in here and he'll be gone.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Do you understand that?
Amen.
But see, even though when you come to Jesus, it doesn't mean those things are gone. It means he's made it available for them to be gone.
Amen. Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He makes it available for it to be gone. I mean, when you come to Jesus, you didn't just get healed instantly. You just didn't get delivered instantly. Does everybody get it? But he's made way for it to happen. Why? Because he's positioning us to get it, to receive it. Okay? So, I mean, this is so important, you know, and we must be so careful of what we speak.
Amen.
You know, some of us were brought up, well, you can never do this. Why don't you be like your brother or your sister? Talk about self-image, bringing a low self-esteem, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Because the devil is there using those people, and they didn't even know it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise be to God. Proverbs 15:4. Can we read this together, please? Proverbs 15:4. It's only back a few pages. Everybody there yet? Are you guys going the wrong direction or what? Let's read it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Is that powerful? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Wow. But perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Man, some of our spirits were broken when we were kids. Big time. Broken. Man, you ain't never going to amount to nothing. You know, all of these things that were spoken in our life affected us. Man, you can never do nothing. Hallelujah. Things spoken at a young age have hindered us. People. Satan uses people, doesn't he? He uses parents. He uses whomever we can. What? To bring low self-esteem. If he can nail you with low self-esteem, ooh. And there are many believers who are still not delivered from it yet. Amen. They got a self-image. Yeah, I'm a new creation in Christ, but inside there's a self-image that they can't get rid of. Hosea 4:6. I think we know this scripture by now. Hosea 4:6. Anybody got a page number?
608.
Wanted, dead or alive. He's been wanting us dead or alive since the seed had come. Conception. Hosea 4:6. Read it with me. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know how many times? I mean, you know, come on. My parents didn't know any better. I mean, I was told all kinds of stuff. I was a black sheep, pink sheep, blue sheep, you name it. Hallelujah. You know, I was the outcast sheep, man. They let me know it, too. And let me tell you something. I felt like it.
Amen.
And then I played the part of it.
Yeah,
yeah, man. It's all right. I'm there. I'm the purple sheep. You know? I ain't going to flow with this thing because I'm not a part of it. So we've always felt that we were never a part of something. And even when we tried to make the attempt to be a part of something, we knew something inside of us says you can't be. Of low self-esteem.
Amen.
And that image that was imparted in us. Why? Because the devil used people to speak these things in our life,
mm-hmm.
and those corruptible seeds that were imparted in us. And you know what we did? We turned to drugs, we turned to alcohol, we turned to everything else to remove that so that we could have a self-image. We turned to pornography, we turned to whatever it was. We turn to wanting to have power. We turn it to another thing to say, I'm going to be somebody if it kills me. And everybody else who gets in my way. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priests for me. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Well, many of us were forgotten. Because we were lost sheep. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. So we see that things were said that they didn't have any knowledge of, did they? You know, with my daughter, we always tell my daughter, you're smart. I'll never tell my daughter, you're stupid. Or say, you stupid idiot, why did you do this? Do you understand that?
Yeah, thank you.
That's why you have to have power over your tongue. Because you have no idea that your tongue is life or death to somebody. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. So you got to be right with God or the devil will use you. He's no respecter of person. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. All glory to God. Can everybody read that with me? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. What does it say?
Do not be deceived.
Evil company corrupts good habits. Wow. Now, you know, evil company is always saying something, aren't they? And it's always corrupting good habits. You know how many people have a hard time learning because they've always been told? You know, I know that me as a child, and I'll just share this, that I had bad allergies as a child, you know. And it was hard for me to, I mean, I was always stuffed, you know, and so forth, stuffed head. And of course, at the rebellion stage and whatever, and I was forced to have to try and read, and I couldn't read, and I was so afraid of what would happen if I, and I hated reading. I mean, they tried to force me to read. And I would be scolded if I didn't read right. So I would shake and try and read as a young child. And man, I hated reading. You know, but it wasn't until the Lord delivered me that I loved reading. Ever since I was filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost and delivered and healed, I read more books in 1 year than I read in my whole life.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I mean, basically completed. I never completed a book in my life until I got saved.
Amen.
You know, but I was, and let me share this with you, because I was always felt like I was dumb. I couldn't read. I couldn't write enough. I couldn't do whatever. And when the Spirit of the Lord filled me, and when He began to give me the Word and give me things to read, He would tell me, go on, keep reading. I used to hear the Holy Spirit say, go on, keep reading. Go ahead, keep speaking it. And all of a sudden, the words would come out. I'd be like, whoa! You know? It was powerful. Because the Spirit can teach you all things.
Amen.
You know? And when I used to blow my wife, blew her away. Man, what happened to you? Jesus.
Amen.
The anointing destroys the yoke.
Amen.
You just got to have that thirst and hunger to get in position to receive. No one can force you to get in position. Nobody can force you to read. Nobody can force you to write. Nobody can force you to pray. Nobody can force you to do anything. But a lot of these things that were imparted in us as a young adult have affected us. Even today. There are certain images that come to your mind when something happens in your life that it brings you back. But you can't let that have dominion over you anymore. You must take dominion over it now. Amen. I mean, you know, when something doesn't go your way, the first thing you go, oh, man, forget it. And the first thing that you start hearing is, why don't you just go back out and use it again? Why don't you go back out and do this again? You know why? Because we used to run to that because we had such low self-esteem. And then when we started doing whatever it was, the devil really beat you down. Then he would convince you, why don't you just kill yourself? Amen?
Amen?
Nobody loves you. Or, you know, your rejection of your first date or whatever. Somebody you tried to ask to go to the prom or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And because you've been rejected as a child, and there's been so much rejection as a child, it's affected many people now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's 1 Corinthians. And we'll see what it looks like. It's either 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah, 1 Corinthians. I believe. Chapter 3. No, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't sure about that, you know.
Thank you.
Must be. Is everybody there? Okay. For if what is passing away, is everybody there? Verse 11, I'm sorry. Was glorious, what remains is what? Much glorious. Glory to God. So we got to allow things to pass away, don't we?
Yeah.
Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of what?
Speech.
Glory to God. What are we going to speak? Good things. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. And of course, he's talking about the glory of God there. Is everybody with me? So we must use this boldness of speech, what? To change what's going on in our life now. Now. Glory to God. I'm going to go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Glory to God. In Matthew chapter 16, and in verse 24. 24. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now I want to share something with you. The one thing the devil does not want you to do is deny yourself. Does everybody get that? And because of the things that were spoken in our life at one time, we started working to bring up a self-image. And we started to promote the self-image. Okay? And the Lord says you must deny that self-image so that His image can come forth. Now, this low self-esteem that we were talking about, and I'm not going to get into a teaching of low self-esteem. That's a whole other thing. But I'm just going to touch a little bit on it. Low self-esteem always tries to prove itself, himself, in the self-image. Always trying to prove. There's a lot of people who are still trying to prove who they are because they have a low self-esteem. You know how many times, and I share this with all the guys, especially when they go home to their families, you know, don't try and tell people how much you know about Christ. Let your actions show Christ, you know. Because what happens is, you know, we get cleaned up, we get filled up, and so forth, and we're still trying to get rid of that low self-esteem because we've been beaten down so badly. You know what I'm saying? We've been beaten down so badly that we're trying to promote ourselves. And what we'll do is we'll try and utilize Christ to promote ourselves instead of letting Christ use us to promote Him. Okay? So this low self-esteem always tries to prove himself. It creates a perfection also. They can't please himself nor please God. In other words, that sometimes that person becomes a perfectionist. And they become such a perfectionist that they believe that they can never please God nor please themselves. So they work so hard at trying to please God or try and bring the self-image up of who they are in Christ that they work so hard that they actually are not really witnessing Christ. They're exalting flesh. And what also happens in this, what begins to manifest is conditional love. In other words, if I don't do this, God doesn't love me. See, God is unconditional love towards us. He doesn't matter what you do. He doesn't like evil and wickedness. He doesn't like sin. But His love for me and you will never change, because the Bible says even while we were sinners, He came and died for us. But see, the devil would like to bring this low self-esteem so that you get an impression that you must do all of these things to earn God's love. And you don't have to. That's called conditional love. Then what you're saying, well, okay, if I do this, God loves me. If I don't do this, God don't love me. That's not true. He loves us no matter what. And that brings a lot of torment to an individual. It brings a lot of stress and strife. It brings a lot of worry. Because it's still trying to get removed that low self-esteem. But I want you to know Jesus has already removed it. Okay? Sometimes certain things manifest as critical attitudes. We begin to be critical of others and critical of ourselves. Try and exalt our own self-image to relieve us from that low self-esteem. Does everybody get it? Is everybody all right? So what's trying to happen is we're trying to remove the promoting of self-image and exalt the image of Christ. That's why the Lord says, again, let's go to that verse, Matthew 16:24. If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. Does everybody get it? Turn to John 3, please. So we have to die to our... Let me share this with you. You might want to write this down. We have to die to our own efforts of protecting self-image. Does everybody get it? Denying self is just not... It's more than just what we speak of denying self. We have to die to our own efforts of protecting our self-image and sense of well-being. We have to die to them. See, Satan wants to keep you alive to them. He's trying to keep alive your self-image, which is a reflection of low self-esteem. So, but what the Lord is trying to say is you need to deny that self-image and let the image of Christ come forth. Okay? That's why He says deny yourself. John 3. Glory to God. And verse 27. Can you read this with me? John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above. Hallelujah, from heaven. And verse 28. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been before Him. Now listen. Now others will try and bring an image on you. And you must deny what the images are from others. See, because even your surrounding areas will reflect you. Does everybody get it? Others will try and bring an image on you. Okay. In verse 29, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. Wow. He must increase, but I must decrease. So Christ must increase in us, and we must decrease. But the devil doesn't want, remember I shared with you, he wants you dead or alive. Okay? He wants that self-image alive in you so that he can be exalted. Because that self-image is a representation of that old character. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
See, if he can keep you alive in that self-image, he can use you. But if you can deny that self-image, then Christ, the image of Christ, can be manifest in us. Does everybody get it? So, you know, in other words, we must decrease that he can increase. Okay. But the devil don't want that. 1 Corinthians 15. Want it dead or alive? 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, and can you read with me one verse, verse 36? Is everybody there? Come on, read it with me. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. Come on, let's say that one again. Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. I must decrease that he could increase. Does everybody get that? So until it's dead, it can't come alive. Jesus is the resurrection of life. So as you deny yourself, Christ can be formed in you. Christ can flow through you. Does everybody get it? Turn to 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 13, you know, some people have been brought up, and I've shared this before, that sometimes when, you know, when people come from the street and they get in a place where there's food and so forth, they have a tendency to overeat. They have a tendency to want to savor, you know what I'm saying? And start, I don't want to say gluttonly, but because of things have been taken away from them, and they have this low self-esteem. And sometimes, you know, because everything has been gone, they have this image that the devil has put in them. And sometimes even people, when they were brought up, that have, they've been with their families, have gone from place to place to try and get food and so forth. And they grow up in this low self-esteem of, man, if I don't take what is in front of me now, I may never get it again. You know what I'm saying? And that's a representation of that low self-esteem, which has to be broke, knowing that Christ supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And he makes a way. Does everybody get it? Good. In verse 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 13, for such, read it with me please, are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. And that's what the devil's been trying to do to me and you. Turn us in to his ministers. He's been trying to do that since you and I were conceived. Does everybody get it? Okay. Glory to God. Let's turn to John 12. And then one more scripture. John 12. Praise be to God. John chapter 12 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil, a spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Ah, and that meant his presence. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii? And given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used it to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." What was the burial? Denying of self. Denying. And what brings that death? The anointing of the Spirit. The anointing of the Spirit brings that death. That's why the devil doesn't want you to get in the Spirit. He doesn't want you to know. He wants you to stay in that low self-esteem arena. Always trying to fight it, fight you. Promote your self-image instead of denying self and allowing the Spirit of God to bring death to self so that Christ's image could be manifest. Amen. Go to Isaiah 10, please. And we'll close here. Isaiah 10. Wanted dead or alive. Isaiah 10. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for making the way. Thank you for paying the price for our childhood, adolescenthood, and adulthood. In verse 27, let's all read it together. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder. Hello? And his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I need one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we'll end with this. I just got quick into this, so. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now the yoke will be destroyed by the anointing oil. Now we know that the word Christ means what? Anointed. Amen. Greek word. In verse 17, can we read this together? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, wait a minute. In other words, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're in the anointing of Christ, you're a new creation, right? That means that you've been delivered from low self-esteem. You've been delivered from promoting self-image. You are denying yourself, and you have been buried by the anointing of the old man. Does everybody get it? And now look what it says. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wow. So don't let the devil, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy, who wants you dead or alive, prevent you from walking in that arena and hold you up by low self-esteem.
Amen.
But know that he who is in you is greater, and he is faithful to complete what he started.
Amen.
Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you. The devil's a liar.
Amen.
He's not going to use us alive. And he's not going to take us dead. But we're going to take dominion. And Lord, we just take this time right now. And Lord, in any area in our life that has been brought from the past of low self-esteem and self-image, as the devil tries to paint those pictures in us, Lord, we just plead the blood of Jesus on those places. We call fire down from heaven to destroy the works of the enemy and destroy those corruptible seeds that have been parted in us as children in the name of Jesus. And we speak forth the word of the Lord that we are new creations in Christ and old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen.
Amen. Amen.